Hello, this is James from the Something More podcast, and I'm delighted to tell you that we have a brand new pod for you, but on a different channel. So what are you doing listening to this one when there's much better stuff at the other one? So what we want you to do is, in your podcast platform of choice, type in Ask Us Anything, which is the name of the podcast. And you can go on to that, listen to all the episodes. I'm hosting it with a really good friend of mine called Dan, who's much brainier than me. And we are answering and talking about all the different questions that are coming through to us. We're having a lot of fun. Here is a little teaser of one of the episodes that we've already done. See you on the other side. Are you enjoying this week's episode, but sick of the sound of our voices?
Are you tired of having to wait a whole week for new Something More content?
Probably not. What if there was something you could read that could point you to Jesus every day for a whole year?
Well, have we got the thing for you?
Oh, I'm so pleased you said that, Dan. What is it? Tell me.
Well, this episode is sponsored by the Something More devotional.
Oh, wow. What is that?
James, it is 365 days of devotionals from Something More that are going to point you to Jesus each day.
Whew.
Are you interested?
Sign me up yesterday.
How?
How? Who? Where?
Neither of us know.
I'm imagining there is some kind of web link that you can get this 365-day devotional.
But it's not the one that we have on WhatsApp, is it?
Producer Tom, tell us, how do we... Yeah, you say the question. You said something. Would this be of interest to you, James?
Yeah.
This would be of high interest to me, Dan. Where do I find such a product?
You need to get on your computer and go to www.somethingmore.com.
There is something more.
I won't say the www, is there?
No. Dan, this is of high interest to me. To where do I find such products?
thereissomethingmore.com/devotionals.
Thank you for this, Something More. I can't wait for my year to be transformed. Hello and welcome to another episode of Ask Us Anything. This is the show, the podcast, that talks about your questions concerning life, faith, and everything in between. And I am joined by my good friend, Dan, who is fully clothed. That's my description of you today.
James is wearing some pretty short shorts because he ran to this podcast recording.
I'm partially clothed.
He was just that excited to get going.
Dan, we've got a very juicy question to discuss today, which is... Are we in the end times? It got voted highly in the Instagram poll, and so we want to honour all those who voted by discussing this question. Dan, are we in the end times?
Yes, we are, James.
Get in.
I'm persuaded. I think we should probably talk about that some more, but I think, yeah, we are. It's such an interesting question because there's so much happening in the world right now that probably makes us think, oh, like something's going on. Apparently 2024 is the year, the first year, I don't know, for a long time. It's unique in that there's an insane amount of elections in various countries around the world. There's never been this many all piled up in one year, something like that. Maybe people got in mind all the stuff happening in the Middle East, like with Israel and Gaza, all kinds of stuff happening around the world. It just makes people ponder these things, doesn't it? And your mind goes to various passages in scripture where Jesus talks about looking out for the signs of the end.
Well, there's no doubt that things are kicking off everywhere, aren't they? And the COVID and wars and all the, you know, the wars that are breaking out and elections and all those kinds of things, it does feel, doesn't it, like something is happening, because it does feel like a unique period of history that we're in currently.
It's what maybe we should say right at the start. This is a good thing to talk about.
Absolutely.
And Jesus says in that chapter, Matthew 24, doesn't he, like, you need to have your eyes on the world and know what's happening and read the signs of the times. I think the fact is, when Jesus came the first time, that triggered the end. And the end will come when Jesus returns a second time. And I think everything between Jesus' first and second coming, in a sense, is the end times.
Mm.
Are we in the end of the end times?
That is a question.
That's maybe the question the questioner is asking. And there's a couple of scriptural passages we could turn to just to like look at some of those details and consider, are we at the end of the end times? And I think you've got Matthew 24 open, haven't you?
Matthew 24 is fascinating. And just to validate whoever wrote the question in, the disciples asked the same question, basically. Mm. So in chapter 24 of Matthew, Jesus, it says, was leaving the temple grounds. His disciples pointed out to him the various temple buildings, and he responded to this. He said, "Do you see all these buildings? I tell you the truth, they will be completely demolished. Not one stone will be left on top of another." And then later, Jesus sat on the Mount of Olives. His disciples came to him privately and said, "Tell us, when will all this happen? What sign will signal your return and the end of the world?"
And it's interesting, right, because already in that passage, right, you've got some things that are going to happen really quite soon, like the temple was destroyed in 70 AD. It's like quite soon after Jesus is speaking. But then the end of the world, or the end of the age, that's like way off from Jesus' time. We're still waiting for that. So this is one of those chapters that's interesting, the stuff that's going to be fulfilled in it quite quickly, and then some stuff that's going to be fulfilled at the end.
And you can't help but feel that in then Jesus' response, that he kind of goes off on one. I don't know. I don't know if that's fair to say, Dan. Shoot me down. But he kind of goes off on one and then tells a couple of parables. And I can't imagine the disciples left that conversation feeling any more clear about what was happening. Is that fair? I don't know. Because Jesus, you know, he says then this. He says, "Don't let anyone mislead you. For many will come in my name, claiming I am the Messiah. They will deceive many, and you will hear of wars and threats of wars. But don't panic. Yet these things must take place. But the end won't follow immediately." So just like you said, Dan, it's like there's a kind of now and then a future thing.
Yeah.
Nation will go to war against nation, kingdom against kingdom. There will be famines and earthquakes in many parts of the world. But all this is only the first of the birth pains, with more to come. Then he talks about persecution, sin. In verse 15, "There is a day coming when you will see what Daniel, the prophet, spoke about." If you've read the second half of Daniel, there's some pretty vibey things going on there. I mean, it's just like, it's just, you know, there's trumpets involved, there's fig trees, there's anguish, there's floods. I don't know. There's just all sorts of things going on in this chapter. And then in verse 42, Jesus then talks about keeping watch. Yeah. Being prepared, the parable in chapter 25 that tries to shed light on some of what Jesus is talking about. Again, that phrase, "You must keep watch, for you do not know the day or hour of my return." So in the mix of like all these, what feels like fantastical things that Jesus is talking about, he then kind of caveats it with, but you're not going to know when all these things happen. Almost as if to say, so, you know, don't worry about when these things are going to happen, but do be concerned about how you are keeping watch and preparing yourself for these things. Does that make sense?
He's like, because they are going to happen. So he does the parable.
Parable.
He does the parable about the fig tree, doesn't he? And says, you know when the fig tree is about to give its fruit. You know when the summer's coming by looking at the fig tree and it changes. He's like, you can look at the world and you can see, oh, things are happening, you know. He's using it as a picture to say, there are things you can look out for.
Mm.
But then he straight away says, but you don't know when it's going to happen. So it's like the emphasis is on be ready, like be on your toes.
So Dan, do you have any sense? Have you got any insight? I mean, you're the vice president of Union. Like, surely you must have some idea. When will Jesus return?
I don't know that I'm on that email circulation list.
Yeah. No.
I honestly think Jesus could come back this afternoon. But I also think equally he could come back in thousands of years. I think it's worth saying, it's just, if people are pondering this, there are a bunch of different like theological systems or like different ways of looking at scripture which are going to affect how each of us approach this and what we're expecting might happen. And I think we could get into listing them, and that would turn into a bit of a, you know, a 3-hour lecture. But there are
mostly by you.
You could, yeah, you could contribute some thoughts on that, I'm sure.
Yeah.
They have to do with things like, in Revelation 20, the 1,000 years that Jesus reigns on the earth. Is that something that's going to happen when Jesus returns? Is that something that's happening now?
Mm.
Is that something that isn't a real number but is figurative of a certain time? All those kind of questions, like, who's the Antichrist? What is the beast out of the sea?
What's the rapture?
What's the rapture? All those questions. And everyone you speak to will have a slightly different opinion because they'll have read a different book or...
But there's cards on the table, right? What's your best guess?
Where I come down at the moment is, it's called amillennialism, which is a silly name for a very, very simple view of this, right? Which is, I think, Revelation 20, which is where a lot of the debate happens, is where John talks about 1,000 years where Jesus reigns on the earth. I think that 1,000 years is symbolic of the time we're in now, the time between Jesus' first and second comings. And I don't think there's anything more complex going to happen at the end than Jesus returns and immediately we all stand before the judgment seat of God and there is a new heavens and a new earth. So for me, no rapture. I don't believe that's going to happen. I'm not getting too tied up in lots of the ins and outs of the various beasts and Antichrist and stuff. I think there might potentially be a particular person who is in the Antichrist at the end, but it's clear from 1 John that there are lots of Antichrists already in the world at that time. So I'm kind of not too hung up on all the details, and I think Jesus could come back today and that could be the end. That could be the last day straight off.
And what about tribulations, Dan?
Yeah, I think a short time of Satan's concentrated activity right before the end, that seems to be the case to me from Revelation 20. It's going to be very short.
Mm.
And then that's the end.
Wow.
But all of those things are supposed to be like a wake-up call to us to, in 1 Thessalonians, Paul talks about being alert.
Yes.
And just being ready and living as children of the light and not being stuck in the nighttime, snoozy. And he talks about being drunk at night as the alternative. It's like you're just kind of sleepy, had a few too many, and you're not really thinking straight. He's like, be sober, be alert, and watch. And it means you can do all of that. You can do the most important, like the most important action points about the end times, even if you've still not figured out if you believe in the rapture or what if there's an Antichrist or whatever. You can be as ready and prepared and as thought through as you need to be if you've got your eyes on Jesus and are hoping in him and are waiting for him, even if you haven't got all the other details pinned down.
I think the other thing, and this is why the parables in chapter 25 are then so helpful, is because it kind of reframes the question for me, because it seems to be that Jesus is less concerned about when, say, he returns, and more concerned about whether we are ready for his return. Like, the parables seem to be suggesting, it's not for you to know when I will return. Stop trying to work out when I'm going to return, but be ready. Do you think people are scared of, like, I mean, you've already mentioned, like, we can kind of draw back from having discussion around this. Do you think there's some level of fear around?
Yeah, I do. I think lots of Christians grew up a little bit with. I know my mum has told me she was told sometimes when she was young, what would you do if Jesus came back and caught you doing that? And it was like a threat. Like, if the end of the world comes while you're doing that, you're in big trouble.
Mm.
And I think that doesn't seem to be how the Bible talks about the return of Jesus. It's like a comforting thing for Christians. It's like, he's coming back, your Savior's returning to, you know, to make this kingdom, the kingdom of the world, his kingdom, and to take you to himself forever. We maybe do get a bit fearful. Maybe it's even easier to be a bit like afraid of it in the age of like a lot of fear about like the environment and global catastrophes and just, that's just in the news all the while. Like, just everything's going wrong in the world. You know, the creation's going down the pan, and Christians can kind of get into that and maybe just paint all of that despair and panic and fear into the future.
Mm.
And so I do think there is a bit of fear around it.
Dan, what do you think about preparing ourselves, whether Jesus returns in our lifetime or not? Is there anything that we can do in light of being in the end times?
Being prepared is hoping in Jesus and looking forward to that day. Being ready for him is like being ready to welcome him on that day. Mm-hmm. I think it's that simple in a way. Mm. It isn't having food stocks in the basement necessarily, or you know, having the inside track on Middle East politics. I think it's about focusing our eyes on Jesus and looking to him, hoping in him.
Yeah.
We live in this world now with all its conditions of sinfulness and fallenness and also death. And we do that with hope because we know that Jesus is returning and he's going to make this world perfect. He's going to be seen as Lord and King. And so we deal with all of the trauma in some ways of living here with hope in a way that other people don't. So Paul says, we believe that Jesus died and rose again. And through Jesus, God will bring with him those who've fallen asleep. And then he says, the Lord himself will descend from heaven with a cry of command, with the voice of an archangel and with the sound of the trumpet of God. The dead in Christ will rise first. Then we who are alive, who are left, will be caught up together with them in the clouds to meet the Lord in the air. And so we will always be with the Lord, which is, it all sounds like, oh, wow, that's like quite crazy. Like that feels a bit abstract. But then he says, he finishes that chapter and says, therefore, encourage one another with these words.
Hmm.
It's like, this is supposed to be the thing that keeps you like going and on track. Whatever you see of the world falling apart around you, whatever suffering and death and sin you encounter in your life, be encouraged with the fact that the day of the Lord is coming. And if you care about that, if you're looking forward to that, you know, when the whole of the world is gathered before the throne of Jesus, that's going to be the most amazing thing.
Yeah,
to see redeemed people from all across the world, to see everything that's wrong with the world as it presently is put right. Yeah. Like that's something to like hang on for and aim at and pray for. Mm. Even in the book of Revelation, that's that theme, isn't it? Like this prayer of the bride of the church, come Lord Jesus.
Yeah. Can I share a quick story before we finish, Dan?
Yeah,
which is on Sunday we had a baptism service, and it was an extraordinary testimony. I know like all testimonies are equal, but who was it that said some are more equal than others? I can't remember. This was an extraordinary one. Ex-football hooligan for Bristol City came to faith just last term, and he got baptized on Sunday, and he invited his whole community, so his friends, family, former hooligans, they were all there on Sunday. It was like the Peaky Blinders had turned up to church on Sunday. It was amazing. And at the end of the service, I got chatting to a couple of guys who came along for it, who you know, were really pleased for their mate, but like, they were like, you know, what has just happened? What have we listened to? And we just got chatting, and one of them asked me a question about why do bad things happen? Basically, this is all great, but how could God, you know, the classic question of why do bad things happen to good people type question. And so we ended up having a conversation, and I began to just share how, you know, the Christian faith, whilst we don't know some of the answers to this question, we don't know why certain things happen, what we do know is that one day Jesus is going to return, and that pain and suffering will be dealt with once and for all. And that's where we have our hope, that Jesus will make every wrong thing right again. And he just never, this bloke, he just never really thought about that before. And it was just a fascinating then follow-on conversation about what that means and the implications around that. And I think just to come back to full circle to where we started, we can back away, not just from talking about these things with one another, for those of us who are Christians, but we then go really far away from talking about the reality of some of these things with people who don't follow Jesus. Do you know what? It's one of the most appealing and attractive things that we can talk about that draw people in. That everything that you're seeing around the world, the tragedies and the wars and the pain and the suffering, one day Jesus is going to return and make all things new. And that is such a message of hope to people right now. And although he didn't say it, you could just see him mulling that over in his head. And so I've been praying for him the last couple of days. Yeah, it's just a great opportunity to talk about these things. I don't think we should shy away from it.
Yeah, and you know, one thing that I always think of, and I often talk about that, you know, Jesus will come and make all things new and everything will be right that's wrong with the world now. Also wonderfully true. Also, I just think the main thing that, and Paul says it in that passage in 1 Thessalonians, is we will always be with the Lord.
Mm.
Like that's the big promise, isn't it? We are going to be in the presence of the one who made us and loves us and has redeemed us by his blood forever. Like he's bought us to be with him forever.
Yeah.
That's just what we're made for. That is going to be, that's the end of the end times. That's the point. You know, the last thing is the fact that Jesus is revealed and we see him and we come to him and belong to him forever.
Yeah.
That is something to advertise to the world.
Yeah. And right to pray for, isn't it? Like there's that long historic prayer that has been prayed down the ages, you know, come Lord Jesus. And we should pray like that, mm-hmm. because he is the only answer to everything that's going on. So as believers, we should pray, Lord Jesus, come. Would you come and return and heal the land? Dan, that's such a, I've found that a helpful conversation once
wonderful,
again.
Wonderful talking with you, James.
Likewise, and looking forward to the next episode.